player.
Supernatural.
Is anyone here? Can you please give us a sign?
Supernatural. Confessions.
Welcome to another edition of Supernatural Confessions. My name is Tim O, once again joined by Eugene Tay. How you doing, buddy?
I'm good, Tim. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. Excited tonight to carry on our topic on haunted hotels here in Singapore. When we were doing some research, turns out we have quite the list to get through, okay? So we'll try and run through as many as we can. But first, we want to get the formalities out of the way. Supernatural Confessions, our website is...
supernaturalconfessions.com. That's the place to get us at. All the information is up there. If you're keen to know what we do, we have our Instagram, Facebook groups. Everything that you need is on supernaturalconfessions.com.
And of course, even though we are 21 episodes in, we still consider ourselves a relatively new podcast, and so we would love for you to help us out and spread the word, okay? Rate us if you can on whatever podcast app you're using, and tell all your friends, and hopefully we can not only grow this podcast, but also grow our network of supernatural enthusiasts so that we can gather more personal stories to share with everybody, right?
The reason why we set up Supernatural Confessions is really for the people. We know that there are many of you guys out there with stories to tell, personal experiences that, you know, you can't really talk about it in public. People think you're crazy. So the best place to do it is at Supernatural Confessions, where you can just leave your story with us and we will give it the respect it's due, and we will even share your experience with like-minded individuals. If you go down to Supernatural Confessions.com, right at the top of the page is a form. Very easy. You can't miss it. If you're using mobile device, that's the first thing that comes under the title. All we need is your name, your email address, and your story, and also any photos you want to attach to that story, you can send it there as well.
Once again, we want to emphasize that we do respect your privacy, your anonymity as well. Any entry that you submit on your form, it doesn't get released out to the public without your consent, okay? All right, and one more thing we do want to share. This is something that we just started recently. We do understand when it comes to Supernatural Confessions, different strokes for different folks. Some of our listeners love the technical aspects. They want to know how investigations are conducted. Others want to hear the theories and the hypotheses of many of these entities, of the spiritual matters and things like that. But of course, quite a number just want good old Hantu stories, right?
Those are the best. You know, you can share around campfires.
Yeah. And that's why, to supplement our main podcast, we have released a little thing called Tales After Twilight that I will try to produce once a week as well. Okay. I'll do my best to find you the most chilling stories, whether from broadcast, whether from print, whether from online. And we'll compile a little series dropping every week as well.
I was privileged to hear the first episode, Tim, and I gotta say, it's really interesting. Gives me goosebumps.
Thank you. But you know, research can be tough, and once again, that's why we need the help of our Supernatural Confessions listeners to help submit some of these stories so that I can read them out as well. Okay, now let's get straight into part two of haunted hotels here in Singapore. When we last left off, you mentioned a tip, and that is, if you ever go to a hotel and you're just about to check in and you see three iron nails in the door frame of your room, find yourself another room.
Yeah. And just talking about this again is really giving me, if you could look at my arm right now, right, the goosebumps are just all raised up. This happened to me personally. I was in Indonesia.
What hotel was this?
I can't remember the name of the hotel, but it was a very old rundown hotel near the airport. Unlike today, where I'll go to a location and my radar and alarm bells would just be heightened. Back in those days, it was just a hotel room. I arrive, I'm just going to sleep one night and I'm going to fly off next morning. So walked into the room. Okay, it was an old place on the ground floor, and it didn't feel right the minute you walk in. It's one of those where you walk into a room and this place just gives you a very bad vibe. Okay, the lights was not bright. It was a corner room right beside the staircase, and everything just looked run down. Okay, so not caring much, I decided to go shower, go back to bed, and that's when I could hear footsteps walking, like on the ceiling, behind the walls. There were noises, okay? So I tried to ignore it for a bit. And when I looked out the window, I could see there were things moving, like shadows were moving outside of the room.
Right.
When I first saw it, I thought the thing was outside. right? But when I start looking at it, because you're on the ground floor, you'd be like, is someone peeping through my window? Mm. And then that's when I realized that maybe what I saw, that shadowy thing, could actually be a reflection of something in the room already.
Oh no.
So felt weird, walked out, went to the
receptionist.
Receptionist, yeah. So I said, you know what? I think there's something wrong with my room. Mm. And they go, oh, which room is that? Right? I gave the room number. She goes, oh, that room. Actually, by right, we're not supposed to let that room out.
Oh, but they did.
Yeah. So they said, oh, we didn't have enough room. We gave you that room, but never mind. Let me change it. So at that point of time, I'm like, okay, you didn't ask me why. You went, oh, there's something wrong with that room. Mm. And I have to wait for a long while before they finally managed to find me another room. And by then, I was already curious. So I started chatting up with the receptionist. I was like, okay, what's wrong with that room? Can you tell me? You know, let's be open here. I'm not going to tell anyone. So I found out that particular room is haunted. They have tried to bring down certain, you know, medicine men, certain bomo, certain, you know, like the shamans to clean the room. But they cannot cleanse the room. They cannot remove the spirit from the room.
Did they give you any backstory on that room? What took place there? Why it was possibly haunted?
No, I don't think we got to the backstory. Or maybe I don't recall. But what I recall hearing very clearly, and it's not just this hotel. They said this happens to other hotels as well. Mm. Perhaps maybe in Indonesia, more commonly in that part of the world, where if they cannot remove the spirit from the room, they will put three nails on the doorframe.
Right.
To anchor the spirit in that room so it doesn't go out to disturb other people.
Oh, so in other words, to trap the spirit in the room with the guest who happens to be staying in there.
By right, the three nail rooms are not supposed to be rented out. Okay. Right? They're supposed to be kept empty. But, you know, if it's full house and they still want to make money out of it, then, yeah, like, you sway, you cannot that room.
Okay. So did you go back and stay in that room or did they find
No. They gave me another room.
Okay.
And after that incident, I asked some of my friends who are in Indonesia. I went to Bali and I checked out, you know, some of the drivers. I started talking to them. And they said, yeah, if you cannot clean the place, you put three nails on the top of the room, on the doorframe, to trap the spirits. And it's a very common thing.
Okay. All right. So that's a lesson for all of us when we go traveling, staying in a hotel, whether it's in Singapore, whether it's in Indonesia, within the region, or just anywhere in the world, just avoid rooms with three nails stuck in the doorframe. All right. Our next story takes us back to Singapore, where I want to talk about one of the oldest hotels in Singapore. It's Raffles Hotel. Okay. Now, a quick search on the internet and through different books as well talks about some activity. And usually this activity revolves around a particular ghost, all right, that's been seen and heard dozens of times by staff and guests alike. Started to make her presence known after restoration and refurbishment took place in the building during the 1980s. And this particular spirit is a young girl. In fact, people have heard a young girl's voice singing nursery rhymes. She has been seen and felt skipping along the halls, and she's also known to tug at skirts and jackets of unsuspecting guests waiting for the elevator. Does this surprise you at all to hear about Raffles Hotel?
It is an old hotel, but I'm not surprised that there are spirits there, but I would be quite surprised that they didn't do anything to clean it because it's quite a famous hotel.
Mm. And of course, this hotel has been around for such a long time. It was around even before the Japanese occupation of Singapore. And here's what's interesting, all right? A little bit of research uncovers that during the Japanese occupation of Singapore, Raffles Hotel was actually occupied by the Japanese. And it was reported that after the surrender of the Jap forces in 1945, many Japanese officers and soldiers committed suicide. Now, one story floating around is that 300 men killed themselves with grenades. And while there have actually been reports of a mass suicide at the hotel, full details have never been confirmed. One particular lady, her name is Isla Sharp. She's the first biographer of Raffles Hotel. She interviewed former Raffles employees and managers, and she said on record that, you know, it does seem a little bit of an extreme exaggeration. She says that a few Japanese soldiers may have committed suicide at the end of the war, but certainly not with grenades and certainly not 300. But still, you know, a suicide is a suicide. If people died in that hotel, it is very understandable that you would hear stories of haunting activities, spirits that just have never been able to move on, right?
You know, if any of you listening to this podcast and you're ex-employee or ex-security guard in Raffles Hotel, why don't you come on up and tell us your story?
Yeah, we would love to hear actually from someone who has worked at Raffles Hotel itself. Over to you, Eugene. Where are you going to take us next to?
I'm going to take you to the Maldives. And this happened at a resort that I was staying at. And of all the experiences I've ever had in haunted hotels, this is by far the scariest for me.
Okay.
So arrived at night, sunset, got my bag. I was alone there, dragging my bag across the old dark pavement towards my chalet and walking along this like gravel road. Suddenly I felt like, you know, the spider web things, like when you walk on a field and there's a like spider web over your face, but actually there's no spider web.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. You get this this strange sensation, right?
That's another phenomenon that we can talk about in the next episode. It's almost as common as sleep paralysis.
Okay.
Okay. So when that happened to me, firstly I look around like, where's the spider? Right? Is there any trees around? No. Okay, that's weird. Walk into the room, knock on the door, do my usual ritual, typical Asia, knock on the door, tell the ghost that you're coming in, right? Open the door and put my key card in that device near the door where you got to put your key card and then the room will light up. And this room has a wall-to-wall mirror facing the bed.
Oh no, this is one of those stories with a mirror, right?
I hate it. I hate such mirrors, I tell you. So put my bag down, got my clothes, went to the shower. And the shower, right, it's that kind of lever where you have to turn all the way down, like 180 degrees for the water to come out. It's like, shower, 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 shampoo, and then water stop.
And halfway in the middle of the shower.
Yeah, the water just turned off by itself. I heard a, no water. Okay, turn it on again, clear off all my shampoo, whole room blackout, the whole toilet blackout. Okay?
Oh, wow.
And there's no window in this toilet that I can look out when there's light. Anyway, outside is already dark, so I couldn't see anything in front of me.
Okay, now when you say the water stopped, it stopped because what? Just no pressure? The water stopped somewhere or?
Someone turned off the tap.
Holy cow.
You need to put in effort to turn it on. And you need to put in effort to turn it off. So as I was shampooing my hair, my eyes were closed, I heard a ying
of someone turning the lever.
As I turned it on again, tried to rinse off, the lights went off. I was scared.
Oh no.
Honestly, I was scared at this point. I really tried to figure my way around. I remember where the door was. I opened the door. I walked out. Okay? It was still dark. I got to walk past that bloody mirror on my right. The bed was on the left. I tried all the switch. It was all off. There was no power. So I did the only rational thing I could do. Walk to the main door and try to jiggle the key card again. I thought maybe, you know, it lost its connection. And that's when I realized the key card was on the floor.
So someone or something removed the key card, cutting all power to the room.
Yeah.
While you were in the shower. Is there any chance that someone came into the room while you were showering? I mean, was your door locked?
I mean, my door was locked because that's one thing I always do, right? I think you remember in my part one of the Haunted Hotel episode, I will always check the door and make sure that, you know, no one springs in on me. So the door's locked and the card came off. So it's hard to imagine how that a wind would blow or something. I couldn't find it in me to give any rational explanation to quell my fear. Okay? So I did what I could. I put a card back in. I apologized to the room. I said, I'm just going to be here for a couple of nights. Don't disturb me. You know, prayed to all the gods I believed in. And I slept. And the annoying thing about this room is that queen size bed that I've got is not a queen size bed. It's two single bed put together. So you can either sleep on the left bed or the right bed. I'm in front of a mirror. I've already gotten spooked out by the toilet incident. And now I have an empty space on my right. So, needless to say, the whole night I was just drifting in and out of sleep, right? My lights were all on. And in my sleep state, I dreamt, or I imagined, there was a beast-like creature on the ceiling, on the rafters of the room. And it was just looking down at me, and it was talking to me. In my dream state, I could hear the voices, and I was even asking, what are you trying to tell me? And it was like a lot of voices layering over one another, like, right? And in the final part of my dream, in that state, I remember the beast jumping down from the rafters onto the bed beside me. Okay, and that's when I woke up. And when I woke up, I saw the bed sheets on the empty bed shifted.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. As in you actually saw the sheets move next to you. It wasn't you moving the sheets.
At that point in time, like it happened about maybe 10 years ago, I cannot sit here today and tell you, oh, it's 100% supernatural. I cannot, right? Like it could be because I woke with a start and I pulled the blanket or something moved. But at that point in time, you put all the experiences together, the tap, the key card. Now, if I see the bed sheet move, I'm going to immediately assume that has something to do with what I've just dreamt of.
Okay, so what did you do next? Did you just close your eyes and go back to sleep?
No, I can't sleep anymore. I just packed all my things. I sat outside the room. Wow. I said, you can have the room. I sat outside the porch and facing the darkness until daybreak.
Oh, no. Did you ever speak to any of the hotel staff or the resort staff?
First thing next morning, I went up to them. I said, I want another room. Oh, sir, what's wrong with your room? You don't like it? I said, this is the address. I think it's haunted. Then they go, oh, sure, sir. We'll find you another place.
So they didn't even try to deny it. They immediately tried to get you another room when you told them what room you were staying in.
Yeah. I would have honestly appreciated some form of denial, like, no, sir, you know? But no, it's like, oh, okay. It's almost like, yeah, that room. Why did we give it to him?
So they didn't give you any backstory at all either.
No, I didn't ask for it. I'm not sure I want to know the backstory.
Okay, well, that is a very creepy and unusual story, just like this one. And this is a hotel here in Singapore, okay? I'm not really certain what hotel this is. I came across this account on the internet, actually. But there is some mention of a club suite. And if you do a little bit of checking, there are very few hotels in Singapore that offer a club suite, especially one that comes with a butler. So I will give you that information and I'll let you come to your own conclusions, okay? This girl says, it was New Year's Day and my friend's family had booked a club suite to celebrate the new year. We laughed, we chatted, and we drank and played cards. Now, it was about 4:15 a.m. when I finally got a chance to sleep. I was going to be sleeping on the couch by myself in the living area while my friends were in the bedroom. And this is where things got a little creepy. I settled myself on the couch outside alone with all the lights on. And after a few seconds, I decided to turn the lights off, leaving the toilet light and the table light on. Now, I tried to sleep, but I could see light still flickering behind my eyelids. And when I opened my eyes, it was really flickering. This hotel is a 5-star hotel and light shouldn't be flickering. The entire night, the lights were okay. So why would they only start having problems now? So I got up and I turned the lights on again in hopes that it would stop, but it didn't. And I was about to fall asleep when I heard a sound knocking. I opened my eyes. I thought, maybe I dreamt the sound. But the knocking came again, so maybe I thought it was the butler, you know, someone outside the door. So I walked to the door, checked the peephole, but there was no one there. I went back to the couch, and I tried to fall asleep once again, facing the balcony. I couldn't sleep. My eyes were tired, but my mind just was very awake. And when I slowly opened my eyes, I gasped, because I was looking at the toilet and the kitchen, and the lights were flickering intensely. Now, why I say this was so surprising, because I was 100% sure that when I closed my eyes, I was facing the balcony and I didn't turn my body. So how is it when I open my eyes again, I'm facing a completely different part of the room? I felt my heartbeat quickening and I clutched at my neck. And I got very scared because my scapula... Do you know what a scapula is?
Where is that?
A scapula is something that Catholics use, okay? It's almost like a locket, but instead of a pendant, it's actually scripture or some written word, okay? And they wear this around their neck. So this girl says, I always leave the house with my scapula, right? In fact, I was sure when I left the house to come to the hotel, I had it. But now it's not around my neck anymore. So I spoke out loud. I said, I'm very sorry for disturbing you. I'll be leaving in the morning. Please just let me sleep peacefully. And I promise I will leave. So things quietened down. The flickering eased a bit. I laid down and I closed my eyes. And I slept for about 5 minutes when I sense something behind me. I opened my eyes slowly, afraid to sit up or to look behind, and I began to pray. But as I was praying, the light started to flicker again. I squeezed my eyes shut and suddenly I heard a chuckle. A little girl giggling. It was high-pitched, playful, and very chilling from just behind my right ear. She was that close. Now, I've never been so fast in my life. I grabbed my bag off the floor, my phone off the table, put on my shoes, and I left without looking back. It was 5:40 a.m. And even though the trains hadn't started running yet, I just sat in the lobby in my pajamas until I could get out of there.
Wow.
What do you think?
It sounds like whoever wrote that, her confession,
yep.
You could feel the fear behind that. There was no, you know, fluffing things up, trying to make things scary unintentionally or intentionally. And this is really about somebody's experience that you just can't explain. I mean, skeptics would just tell you it's...
I can tell you what the skeptics would say, all right? So when I looked at this story, and once again, I think I've just been hanging out with E.T. too much, right? I feel like I can channel him. I think E.T. would say, well, you know, it was late, she was tired, there was a bit of drinking involved. And once again, all this light flickering. She brought up a good point in her story, you know what I mean? This is a 5-star hotel. Number one, wiring should not be an issue. And number two, how can it be that the lights were fine throughout the whole night until 4-something in the morning?
EMF. This reminds me of a story I wrote in my book on chapter one, Palace of the Golden Horse.
Okay.
Where I had very similar experience. Because you told me about a scapula, something about a scapula just now and the giggling sound, that reminded me of my own experience.
Go for it.
Okay, it's Palace of Golden Horse. It was a VIP suite. TV turned on and off by itself. Toilet flush on and off by itself. Sound of giggling. And the person I was with, she was wearing a crucifix around her neck. In the morning, we couldn't find the crucifix. We found a broken chain.
Yeah.
And we had to search high and low around the room only to find it under the bed.
Okay, let me just stop you there, okay?
Yeah.
Now, what you're saying is she was wearing a chain with a crucifix around her neck.
Yeah.
Right? So if a chain were to come loose, right?
Yeah.
It would still be pretty much attached to the crucifix.
Yes.
But you're saying the next day, the crucifix and the chain, both off her neck, but also apart from each other.
Yes, it's separated out. That's the thing. If it's like, you know, you wear it around your neck, you move around at night, it snapped, the crucifix and the chain should be in the same area. Right? Even if you were an active sleeper, you struggle, you kick it all around, it would be at the foot of the bed or somewhere off the bed.
Right.
Not under the bed, right in the middle.
Wow. That is particularly chilling because most people find some form of safety in these religious artifacts or religious ornaments that they carry with them, to think that they don't protect you or keep you safe in these environments is actually very, very disconcerting.
Remember in part one, you asked me what are the kind of spirits that would haunt a hotel room? Mm-hmm. And I mentioned spirits, wandering spirits, or demonic entities.
Yeah.
I was very sure in that room and what the lady in the story that you just talked about, what they experienced, it's actually demonic entities. You know, when you see things like an entity being able to manipulate electricity, energy, lights, hear sounds of chuckle, it may be the sound of a young girl, but the entity could be a demonic entity that's not a young girl.
Yeah. I think those are the scariest ones of all. And I think this is just from years of growing up, watching things like Amityville and all that. The sound of a little girl giggling is more scary than any roar or scream.
And the psychology of horror is that children are supposed to be innocent and harmless. Yeah. But yet, when you turn that childlike innocence into something that is immaterial, you can't see, but you can hear, that automatically becomes doubly as scary.
Yeah. Let's talk about Swiss Hotel Stamford, also coming into the list of possibly haunted hotels here in Singapore. Now, I don't know if you've read the news, Eugene, but over the last few years, they just haven't been kind to the Swiss Hotel Stamford, okay?
Lots of suicide cases, right?
Yeah, multiple deaths reported in the news. Swiss Hotel Stamford itself is 73 floors, and the hotel is said to be built on execution grounds occupied by the Japanese army during World War II. Now, during the past years, Swiss Hotel has also garnered a lot of attention for unexplained deaths, okay? But what is strange is that most of the people who took their lives, all this happened on the 59th or the 60th floor. A few guests have come out to say that on these floors, that there are times they felt an unwanted presence in the room, and some even claim to see figures roaming the corridors asking for mercy.
Wow.
Yeah.
I wonder if there's anything to do with the numbers.
59th and 60?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, we're not sure. Of course, if anyone tuning in has experiences over at Swiss Hotel or you know of someone who works there, we would love for you to contact us, okay? And just because we were just talking about the Swiss Hotel Stamford, it doesn't necessarily mean that the other Swiss Hotel... No, because you know there are multiple Swiss hotels, right?
In Singapore?
Yes, yes.
I only know the one at City Hall.
So the one we just spoke about was Swiss Hotel Stamford, but apparently the one at Merchant Court, also under the Swiss Hotel brand, is not safe from such stories as well. Okay, according to a, once again, TripAdvisor entry, this person says, my family started to hear strange noises at night. It was like someone was knocking rudely on our door. There was loud yelling through the hallway. We initially thought that the noises were coming from guests, so we made a complaint to the receptionist. But the noises didn't stop, and they became even louder instead. So we decided to just leave the room altogether and go out for a bit. Now, when we came back, to our horror, we found the room in an absolute mess. Our furniture had been shifted around and placed in weird, unnatural angles. And all this took place while we were out. We felt unsafe staying in the room, so we requested for a change after that. Could this be a case of someone trying to pull a prank on them?
The question is, if someone's going to pull a prank, what are you going to get out of it, right?
Yeah. That's,
the motive is always one of the things we want to question. It's hard to say that it's supernatural. Like, I know furniture's moving and all that is part of the signs. But if they have not heard any other thing, no other experiences, it's just hard to pinpoint that this may not be something else.
Yeah, of course.
But still, you know, you're going to come back and then you're going to see your room in a disarray. The first thing I'm going to think of is not ghosts. It's going to be like room service.
Yeah.
Who came in and tried to rob me, right? You know?
And I think that's what makes haunted hotel stories particularly terrifying, you know, because when you stay in a hotel, for most of us, we're trying to get some rest, some relaxation. We leave the country. We're expecting some peace from our everyday lives, right? We're a lot of times taking a vacation is also a way for you to escape. You know,
yeah.
And when you end up in a situation like this and you find out the place you escaped to is riddled with, you know, uncontrollable forces and you don't feel safe, I think that is what makes this whole thing even more troubling.
Yeah. In my belief, then there is at least one spirit in every hotel.
Okay. And that spirit is sicked onto you when you don't give the bellboy a tip. Okay. All right. In our last episode as well, I asked you a question, right? And that is, what do you think happens when tragedy strikes in a hotel? When people die in a hotel? How do you think hotel management deals with this?
I know someone who does cleaning services for hotels. If someone's in the bathtub with both wrists slit, okay, they will come down and they will clean the body. Right, so this is actually under the funeral side of services. The police will get called in, reports will be done, but usually they'll just clean up the room and that's it. Mm. On the surface, it looks clean, but really if you put a black light in a room,
yeah,
it will glow, right?
Right.
So they will clean the carpet, they will remove the body, remove any blood stains, get a spiritual master to come down, give a bit of blessing to ensure that the spirit is follows the light and leave the room, and it's done. That's it. That's all the job they do for cleaning the room.
Right. Okay. Well, let's talk about the other sort of cleaning, okay, that is involved. As you can imagine, there is a lot of concern that when deaths occur or when horrific things happen in hotels, sometimes that trauma and that tragedy can result in residual hauntings, right?
Yeah.
And some gory things have actually happened in a lot of hotels here in Singapore. In fact, in Geylang's Budget Diamond Hotel, there was a naked, bloodied body of a murdered woman that was found under the queen-size bed. According to the staff, a Taoist priest was called in immediately after the murder and all the room's furniture was replaced. An employee said they will try to assign other rooms before that one unless the hotel is fully booked. All right. In other hotels, industry insiders say that religious cleansing rites are carried out to give their staff peace of mind, because I guess that's probably more important, because your staff are the ones who are there all the time and you want to make them feel safe, right? And you want to give them a little bit of peace. I mean, if guests don't know, then they don't know, but your employees will probably know.
Yeah.
So to give their staff peace of mind, there are rights complete with room cleaning, and this could last from a few days to a week. And these cleansing rites include getting heads of various religious groups to conduct rituals in the room before sealing it off for a period of time.
That one is true. I can vouch for that. Like, that's the kind of story I heard from people who are in the industry as well.
Now, there are a few other ghastly things that have happened in hotels. I haven't actually found stories, haunted stories pertaining to these hotels, but honestly, if there were going to be haunted stories, I imagine these are the hotels that would have them, just based on stuff that was reported to take place. Now, in 1995, there was a former convict that was trained in butchery, and he beat a tourist with a hammer to death, bludgeoned him to death in a Riverview hotel room, and then dissected the body in the bathtub. He then scattered the body parts. And you can read, all this is on public record, okay? He scattered the body parts sealed in black plastic bags into the Singapore River. And guess what, Eugene? The victim's head and arms were never found.
I think that was a very famous story, right, back in the day?
Yeah, this was in 1995, right? So, you know, off the top of my head, if you would ask me, what kind of stories do you think that you would hear from this particular hotel? I would say a floating head and arms, right? Because those are the parts that were never found.
Maybe, you know, once they do a renovation and they hack down the walls, they might find the head or the arms behind the plaster and no one knows how it got there.
Scary. Also, in 1994, this took place place in Oriental Hotel, right? A tourist died in her room after two Singaporean men who were trying to rob her ended up choking her to death during the attack. Okay, so once again, a grisly death happening in Oriental Hotel, but I have not come across any haunted stories from that particular hotel. Now, this one could probably be the most ghastly of all. In 1974, at the Hilton Hotel, a lady was famously killed and chopped up into 13 parts by her husband, okay, who then sealed her severed body up in a trunk and transferred it over to a Cane Hill flat. While that's not where the body parts eventually landed up, Hilton Singapore Hotel was where the murder actually took place.
And that's where the spirit will remain, right?
I don't know. What is the general belief? Will a spirit be tied to the place where it died or where its body ends up?
That's one of the theory. You know, when a calamity or tragedy happens at that spot, the energy gets anchored in that location where the death happens. Mm. Speaking of this Hilton Hotel, remember the one strange incident where I think married couple, well, I can't remember the story, but it was a suicide case in Hilton Hotel as well. Right. And the nature of the report gives us the idea that there might be something supernatural behind it, but I can't remember offhand.
Well, of course, if you know the story that Eugene cannot remember, please get in touch with us, okay? And with that, it's about time for us to wrap up another edition of Supernatural Confessions. Thank you so much once again for tuning in. And if you want to contact us, if you have questions, maybe you even have a place that you would like to be investigated, right? You just want some peace of mind, you can always reach out to us
at www.supernaturalconfessions.com. You can send us your stories, contact us there. Any inquiries, don't worry about it. We will not make fun of you. We respect your story. And most importantly, your identity will be totally anonymous. We will not reveal it if you don't want us to.
And of course, don't forget, as always, help us grow the podcast. Tell all your friends about Supernatural Confessions. If you'd like, you can join us on our Facebook page as well. Okay. Another episode of Tales After Twilight, our supplemental podcast, will drop a little bit later on this week. So if you're just looking for 9 minutes before you go to bed to enhance your dreaming experience, that's how I'm going to pitch it. And look forward to Tales After Twilight. I like where I read one, two, or three stories that we found from various sources. Okay?
All right. You know, we're doing this totally out of passion. So for you listeners out there, if you really want to support us, you think this is great, and you want to help us grow, the best way to do it is to give us a very high rating on any of the channels that you're listening to us from, like Apple or Google or Spotify. Just give us a like, follow. That will really be a great help to us.
Mm-hmm. And of course, hey, if you have any suggestions, right, on what topics we should cover, something that interests you, let us know. Maybe we can do a little bit of research and dedicate a podcast episode to that as well, okay?
Yep, that's all.
All right. So until our next installment, my name is Tim O.
And my name is Eugene Tay. And you've been listening to
Supernatural Confessions.
Supernatural Confessions.